Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello, and welcome to Throwback Thursday, October 19th, 2017. Steve Cypress here. And yesterday I talked about this whole NFL fiasco, driving their fans away by letting the players be disgruntled and doing anything they can to screw their own employers. And it's just kind of funny to watch for someone who actually used to care about the NFL. I digress, and actually, we had some furniture delivered today, and movers come over, and there's some Packers stuff around because my beautiful wife Michelle is still a NFL fan and loves the Packers, and they were like, oh, you know, your quarterback got hurt. And then the guy looks at me, and he's like, your quarterback got hurt. And I'm like, first of all, I don't have a quarterback. Second of all, I did hear about that, but it isn't because I tried to. Like, I know nothing about what's going on with that thing. And, like, you know, so some people are still watching the thing and paying attention. They haven't lost all their customers and fans. They definitely lost me. But anyway, Rhino of the Day is, might be tough to see. I noticed with the reflections are all because I haven't taken it out of the plastic. It is a package of Rhino gift tags, I guess they're called. A little thank you gift tag on the back. And so these are like a heavy brown card stock with some frilly frills on them. And you tie them around the package, I'm guessing, and you say who it's to and who it's from, and has a rhino on it. And there's about, I don't know, about 10 of these in the pack. So there's the thank you. And along that theme, I did mention yesterday, that's why I brought it up. I mentioned yesterday while I was talking about the NFL, and how their systematic and historic mistreatment of their own employees, the players, same in all the major sports, the owners have historically treated their employees, their players, horribly. Now, of course, things have changed, certainly in terms of the money and the lifestyle that they afford these players. They fly on their private team jets, and they have the best of food and everything, and the best hotels they stay in, and they pay them millions of dollars and all, but still feeling disgruntled, and they're taking it out on the owners by, I don't care what you say, what you suggest, and what you personally want. Like, I'm going to raise my fist in the air. I'm going to pout. I'm going to put a towel over my head. I'm going to kneel. I'm going to sit. I'm going to lie down. I'm going to do everything I can to disrespect your country, your flag, your national anthem, your president. I don't care about any of that stuff. I hate it. I'm just saying that. I mean, I would think that most of them are actually to at least like their country, even though it's got a lot of problems. But anyway, I wrote about this in my senior honors thesis in college for baseball's reserve clause and the strikes that had just started happening back then in the 80s and are going on still. Haven't had one in a while, but the lockouts and strikes and all the labor problems in sports, as if it's like a typical business where there's a labor, you know, a management and workers. Like, give me a break. These are millionaires playing a game. But anyway, I said I would find my honors thesis and share with you today. And I looked a little bit and I couldn't find it. And I'm like, of course I have better things to do. I'll find it some other day. I know it's here somewhere. Still have boxes of stuff, even though we moved, over a year ago. But I do want to share this, and I put it in the title up here because yesterday, it's kind of, it's very newsworthy. Yesterday, IBM had its second biggest single day gain in its history, and it entered the Dow Jones like 30 years ago. It went up almost $13 a share, $12.99 a share in Warren Buffett's face. Warren Buffett bought a whole hunk of IBM, but then a couple of months ago came out and said, not so sure about this thing. And man, the stock tanked, like went down like $10 in a day. Thank you, Warren Buffett. Hasn't come out and changed his mind or said anything publicly since then, but earnings came out. And suddenly it showed that, like, IBM, whoa, they're making a ton of money and things are going great. And Warren Buffett, in spite of himself, made about $800 million yesterday on his shares of IBM stock. But it reminded me of a story I'll share with you on Throwback Thursday. It's fitting that when I was a baby, when I was about 7 months old, my mom went onto a game show in New York City. That's where they filmed it back then, not out in L.A., It was called The Price is Right, and the host was Bill Cullen, who you might know later was host of other game shows, Concentration and some other game shows. But she made it onto the throne. Not only was her audition so great, as the story goes, obviously I was 7 months old, don't really remember it firsthand, but I've been told over and over that they had the daytime show back then, and then they had the once in a week, I think it was on a Wednesday night, they had the nighttime version. And the nighttime version had much better prizes, and of course, tons more people watching it. And so you really had to do great in the audition for them to select you for the nighttime version. That was my mom. So she went on 1 week, I think on a Wednesday, and she won. Now, back then, it wasn't like it is now where you have come on down and contestant after contestant, you just get one chance. It was three or four, I think four contestants on there for the whole show with a parade of prizes coming by, and they had to guess how much they're worth, and they, you know, went from one to the next, and until somebody, you know, you couldn't go over, and you had to guess the closest to the price, whatever, and then they brought out another one, another one, another, and she won. She won all kinds of stuff. And she actually had, by winning and having the most money, she got to come back on the next show, which was not the next day, as it is now, or all the daytime game shows. The nighttime version was next week. So she came back the next week, which I'm told was the first week of the next year, 1961. And, but she didn't do as well that second time out. But she won a whole bunch of stuff, probably won a couple of things. I don't remember the story totally about which week she won what, but I do know our house was filled with prizes from The Price is Right as I grew up. So one thing she won was a piano. So there was our piano sitting there in the living room, and that was won on The Price is Right. She had a mink coat that she would wear out on very special occasions. My mom was a school teacher. It wasn't like she, you know, living on the Upper East Side, living the high life, but she would wear that mink coat that she won on The Price is Right. We had our dog, and the dog was named, wait for it, Lucky. She won it on the game show. Now, I was a baby at the time. My sister came along about 2 years later, and as the story goes, that's when they got rid of the dog because the dog was not really getting along with the baby, my sister. And so one of those had to go, and sorry, doggy lovers. Not much of a question which one has to go in that case. So Lucky found a new home, and who knows what his name became. But it was won on the game show. I don't think they give prizes of animals now on game shows, unless you're watching, what's the one, Let's Make a Deal, you know, the goofball prize of a donkey in a box or whatever it is. Anyway, I digress. What else? What a boat. She won a boat. Now, the boat, I'm told, was in the backyard, but they got rid of the boat, not because of my sister, that one was because of me, because a couple years later, I became like two, three, and crawling around, and they were like, uh-oh, he's climbing up to the boat or messing around under the boat, with the boat, something. They're like, you know what, let's get rid of this boat. I don't think they ever used it, just sat in the driveway in the back, in the backyard of the house. So the boat went. What else did they win? My mom won a, back then, today it would be called a stereo, or an MP3 player or something. Back then it was called a high fidelity, a hi-fi, big long, 6 foot long cabinet where you pull out the two side doors, there are speakers, and then the middle, you pulled out on like a Lazy Susan, the dolly came out, and there was the turntable, and there was the radio receiver, and 300 albums. And so I grew up and saw all these albums from, you know, the big band era of the 50s and the 60s and the Frank Sinatra and the, you know, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass and all this. That's 300 records and the stereo, the hi-fi. That was one on The Price is Right. What else? Oh, won a jukebox. Oh, was just talking about that with a client the other night at dinner, like fun story, because back then the jukebox was all, they were all controlled by the mob, that whole industry, along with pinball machines and lots of other things. And Fiorello LaGuardia is famous for confiscating all the pinball machines in New York when he was mayor of New York in the 40s or whatever, and smashing them and breaking them. That was an anti-mob thing. Well, the same with these jukeboxes. So, as the story goes, my dad's like, what the heck are we going to do with this big Wurlitzer jukebox? What the heck is that? You still see these on game shows. No, you got to be thinking, like, what the heck is someone doing with a jukebox? Well, maybe a man cave or, a party basement. We're like, well, we didn't have that. And, like, what do we need that? We were like a, you know, middle-class family here. We don't have some big man cave or party room. So there's only one place you can get rid of the jukebox, and that's to the mob. So that was fun story of back in the day with my dad's run-in, close shave, not any trouble at all, but had to encounter the mob. And it's like, give the jukebox, get the money, forget you ever saw them, forget their name, you probably don't even know their name, like, you don't want to know your name, like, forget the whole thing gone, and I never heard that we had any trouble with it, but that was interesting, like, when the jukebox goes to the mob, goodbye. What else? Oh, won a trip to Japan, I believe, was the trip, and my parents turned it into a trip around the world. They stopped in, like, four or five destinations. So I had the photos I saw as a kid growing up there. There they are in the Roman Colosseum, and they're over in Paris. Hey, thanks for the likes. Who's here? Jim Willeckmeister is here. Lee Werner and Jose Chavez is here. Jose, how are you doing? Long time. I was just thinking about you the other day and your baby, who I remember when he was born, and he must be almost 10 years old or something, for crying out loud, must be humongous, bigger than me, and undoubtedly has more hair than me, and I'm jealous. But anyway, I digress. So what else? Assorted jewelry, I remember. A bunch of jewelry. What else? I thought I was mentioning something there, and I forgot. What else? Oh, this trip, yeah. So they turned it into a trip around the world. You know, went to Paris and Rome and somewhere else and Japan and wherever. So, you know, that was a big deal, a trip. Another thing, what else? I'm sure I'm leaving some stuff out. But one other thing my mom won was, because, you know, and she had to correctly guess the price of all this stuff better than the other contestants did, and she did. And the stories went with, which I still carry to this day. I still remember the times I had sales jobs, and managers would always say, like, you over-prepare. You prepare way too much for a sales call. I mean, I got to know the history of this and that. Still to this day, I prepare like crazy. Well, that was the story. My dad prepared my mom and coached my mom on all the prices. That's all they did for however long since they knew that she was going to be on the show to when she went on the show. It was trips to all the stores and getting all the catalogs and going to the grocery store. And they had to know the price of broccoli and lettuce. And as it turns out, you know, a piano and a mink coat, and a trip to Japan, and a Wi-Fi with 300 records, and a dog, and a boat, and a mink coat, whatever else you want. One other thing she won was 10 shares of IBM stock. And so that's the story today. IBM, yesterday, with its second biggest gain ever, went up $12.99 a share. And today, you know, often when stocks, I spent a year as a trader, on the options exchange, which I was in that world for years. So if you don't know that, or if you study this stuff, and I actually have a client who now has a trading course, teaches people how to trade from home, to be day traders from home and make a ton of money. And I'm helping to market that. And that's a lot of fun. But, usually when a stock goes way up like that, the next day it's going to go down a little. People are going to do what they call take profits. You know, they're going to sell some shares. So they're going to be more sellers that next day than buyers, and that's going to make the price go down. It'll be the same with anything. If you're selling stuff on eBay, and there's 100 sellers and only a few buyers, you're going to get a low price for it. That's how it works with stocks in a nutshell, to keep it simple. And so, but no, today the stock went up again, another $1.40. So it didn't go up a lot, but it did go up, where in the 2 days the stock is up over about almost 10% in the 2 days. Went from 145 to 159 yesterday, and today went over 160. And so yesterday was an 8.8% gain, 1 day. Okay. So, reminded me that my mom had won 10 shares of IBM stock at the end of 1960, when, as far as I can look up historically, I have yet, even though she passed away 2.5 years ago, crazy legal battle over, you know, I don't want to get started with nonsense going on about her estate, story for another day, but I'm dealing with it, and had to get lawyers involved and whatever, but we're dealing with it. Still haven't gotten a statement of the account of whatever was the initial basis, the initial value of those shares, but from what I looked up online, it was about $5 a share. So 10 shares of IBM stock, and Bill Cullen would go, hey, 10 shares of IBM stock, and the model would go, ooh, 10 shares of IBM stock, and it's worth, and that day, you know, you had to know the price, and it was around $50. Well, as the story goes, and none of it's a story, but I didn't have to hear about this one. You can look it up. IBM stock grew and split and split and split and split again, split 2-for-1, split 3-for-1, 4-for-1. It just kept splitting. And again, if you don't know about stocks, that just means instead of the stock just wildly going up, they just suddenly say, everyone who owes a share of stock, we're going to send you another share because now your shares were 2 shares. So everyone that had 100 shares gets another 100 shares. It's split. So the price stays the same, but you have doubled the shares. So holy cromoly. So over the years, this thing split. So in case you're wondering, I'll just save you time of looking it up. My mom, at the time of her death, had 864 shares of IBM stock from 10 shares in 1960. It split and split, and she never touched it. She never sold it. She never thought about selling it. She never touched it. Never. It was put away. Hey, that's for you kids. I'm just putting that away in a safety deposit. Safety deposit box, because nowadays, of course, you buy and sell. It's all electronic, whatever. Back then, it was actual paper certificates. So I am about to share with you here on Throwback Thursday a genuine, over 50-year-old certificate of International Business Machines Corporation, IBM stock. And it says on the, up on the corner that this is less than 100 shares because it is, in fact, one share of IBM stock. So there it is, one share, and it says there one. And that's my mom right there. This is Marilyn Cypress, Great Neck, New York, 19 Essex Road, the home I grew up in. And now 19 Essex Road was not the home we were living in 1960. This is dated 1966. It's the earliest one that I found from hers because I think she had handed them in and they give you more or whatever happened in the days because she actually won it in 1960. But this is still an over 50-year-old certificate. And I did keep one to keep as a keepsake of my mom because she won that when I was a baby and kept it my whole life and for the rest of her life. And so had a couple hundred shares in certificate form and the rest in electronic form, not to mention those 864 shares. But IBM pays dividends. That means every quarter, certain amount of money per share, which when I called on the phone to ask what's the balance or how many shares in the account or whatever, the message on hold said, last month's dividend paid off in August 2017, $1,100. That's $1,100 a quarter. So it's about another $4,000 a year. So on top of all that stock, there's all these dividends. So 10 shares of stock, $50 worth of stock, folks. When investors tell you, when financial advisors tell you, hold on to your stock and don't worry about the crash of 87 or stock going up or down or what Obama does or what Trump does or whatever, it's America. And America is, as long as capitalism reigns supreme, America will always be fantastic and will always bounce back. Business will always win over government and liberals and anyone trying to stop business, they're not going to. Business people are smarter and more adept and more skillful, and all the anti-business people and liberals and big government people looking to take them down forever. So hopefully you're watching this. You own a business. You're an entrepreneur. That's you. You know you're smarter, more adept, and you're able to combat any nonsense from the government of regulations, taxes, anti-business rules, whatever they do. Doesn't matter. You're going to win. And there is an example, IBM, from 10 shares at about $5 a share to 864 shares worth $160 each at close today, over $160 each. It's been higher before, but that's today's value, plus all the dividends accrued over all those years from my mom winning 10 shares of IBM stock on a game show. Who knew? So that's it for Throwback Thursday. I wish the same for you, or maybe you for your kids. So Jose, there you are. We're talking about Jose and his baby who I knew when he was in his mom's womb, as they say. And if you gave like 10 shares of, I don't know, pick a stock, and if you're fortunate, and that's a winner. And when he's, you know, I'm 57. So this stock was won when I was 7 months old. So 57 years, 56 years later, that thing is worth, you know, several $100,000 has come from that $50 worth of stock. Love you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Hence the rhino thank you to my mom for being an excellent steward and a extremely smart person. And just loving us so that she said, I'm just going to keep that, put it away. This is one share, but there's more where that came from. Thank you, Mom. And thanks everyone for being here today. And, Rob says, yeah, worth about 138 grand. That's about right. Plus the couple of hundred thousand more in dividends over the years. That she did into her bank account, and that helped pay the bills and do whatever. My mom was always extremely prudent and sharp with her money, paid cash for everything, cars, everything. When she sold her home, moved into her co-op, you know, sold the home, took it all cash, bought the co-op. Like, she paid cash for everything, never owed anybody anything, didn't, you know, fly travel around the world extravagantly, didn't, you know, do anything crazy and whatever. You know, late in her life, she called me saying her financial advisor told her, like, hey, you know, slow down here, the money might run out, because she loved Broadway. So she would go into the city and eat a nice dinner and go to a Broadway show. She'd do that once or twice a week. And so, oh, she's spending all this money. I'm like, Mom, yeah, I'm here. Spend all the money. Like, but who knew? Like, Mom, hey, you might want to cash in some of the ridiculous amount of stock you have from those little old 10 shares sitting around. When I was a kid, like, I don't, you know, don't save it for me, Mom, but that's what she did. But I wish, if I would have known, I would have been like, Mom, do something. Spend it on yourself. Do something great. But that wasn't my mom. She did something which she saw was great, which was leave it to her kids. So love you, Mom, and I wish that for everybody out there. That's one of the reasons we're entrepreneurs and we're business people. We build a business to have an exit experience, somebody buying the business, and then we can retire. We can will that to our children. We can have our children take over our business. Like, that's what, it's why you start a business, folks. You start a business to grow a business, to change your life, to change the lives of your family and people around you. You know, if you're one of those people that, you know, remember, I always say, think back to when you started the business. When people tell me, like, I ask them, they come to me for help, you know, can PM me here or tweet me or email me, steve@stevecypress.com, whatever, and they'll ask for help. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me, what's your goal this year? Or for next year, 2018, what's your goal? Well, I want to increase by 5%. I want to increase 10%. I just want to survive. And I'm like, do you remember when you started the business? Is that, would you ever have said that when you start? Hey, I started this business, and I hope it goes up 5%. Like, no, you start the business to change your life, to get wealthy, to have generational wealth, to change the world, to employ people, to pay suppliers, to supply excellent goods and services to the marketplace. You have such a positive effect on everything with a business. So do what you got to do to grow your business, including, if you need to, get help from somebody who knows how to grow a business. I don't know how to do the doing of just about any business. I don't know how to be a plumber. I don't know how to be a doctor. I don't know how to be an attorney. I don't know how to be a heating and air guy. I don't know how to be a roofer. But I've certainly helped all those people, and lots of them make tons of money. That I know how to do. All businesses are universal in that. We all need more clients, more leads, more sales, more repeat business, more referrals, raise our prices, make more profit, put systems in place in the business so you have something sellable. So when you want to retire, or if, God forbid, something happens to you and you die, like, there's still a business there. So your family can sell it, take it over, something. Like, that's what I do, and I love what I do. So that's it for Throwback Thursday. I'm taking my one share that I kept, and the financial advisor looked at me and said, like, yeah, that thing's worth like $150. Like, but, dude. Oh, no, no. He said to me, that thing's worth like $4,000. I'm like, yeah, no. Yeah, it represents about $4,000 for all the times it's split and then all the dividends, whatever. But this one piece of paper still is just one share of stock. And for the 150 or 160 it is now or whatever, hey, this piece of paper went up $1.40. Went up $12.99 yesterday. But never selling it, of course. And I would probably frame it. And so you'll never see it again just sitting out here flapping in the breeze. I will frame it as a memory of my mom forever. So thank you, Mom. And thanks, everyone, being here. And Lee says, correct. Should have looked earlier, but I'm glad you realized that something I said was correct, because that's why I'm on here every day, folks. Pretty much everything I say is correct, which is why you come back and watch the videos. And I'll be back tomorrow, speaking of which, for Foundation Friday. I'll have a basic tip to help you build your business. Will you build it from worth $50 to worth $140,000 plus hundreds in dividend, you know, will it build that much? Yeah, could. Why not? In fact, small businesses can grow a lot faster and a lot bigger, a lot more percentage-wise than big companies can. So if you want my help, I'm here. I'll at least give you help, even if I don't take you on as a client, or get somebody else to help you, because it's my biggest wish that every business owner has massive success. If that happens, we change the world, folks, for ourselves, for our family, and for everyone. So that's the story for today. That's Throwback Thursday. Thanks, Kathy, Rob, Matt Basak, everyone for being here on the video, and I'll be back tomorrow with Foundation Friday. Catch.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.